Corinthians chapter 13 tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I'm giving you part 5 to a message that I began several Sundays ago. We're in the middle of our series on imitators of God. I gave you a introductory sermon on that on a Wednesday night. I trust you'll go back and get that if you haven't already. Now we are looking at God in a very specific fashion. Different areas in which we can imitate Him. We've already considered imitating God as a father, as a parent. And tonight we give you part 5 of the message that I've started with you on imitating God as a husband. Even if you're a wife tonight, this, what we're giving to you, applies to both husbands and wives, that we ought to imitate our heavenly bridegroom in our marriages. We get our scripture text from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. You're in 1 Corinthians 13. Stay with me there. Just wait on me. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're looking at the love that Christ has for his bride. If you're saved tonight, you're part of the New Testament church. And one of the many names that he has given to the New Testament church is we are part of the bride of Jesus Christ. It's an honor to be married to Jesus Christ. He's the heavenly bridegroom. And what we're doing is looking at the love that he has for his bride. And we who are saved should mimic, we should imitate his love for us with our love for our mates. This being the case, it applies to everybody here. Even if you're not married, this applies to you with how much Jesus truly loves you. But this is the kind of love he has for us. So let's pray together, and we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. As we consider what kind of love, help me out, church, what kind of love is it? It's agape love. There are three kinds of love in the Word of God, if you will. Whenever you see the word love, it could be the word phileo, which means brotherly love that I hope you have for your brothers and sisters in Christ and even blood relative. There's eros love, which is where we get our word erotic from. That is sexual love. But we are studying what the Bible calls agape love. This is the love that Christ has for the church. And every verse I give you that has the word love in it in this entire sermon is agape love as we study this together. Father, we love you. Help us now. I pray, may the will of God be done in this service. Speak to us in a clear way. In Jesus' name, amen. I do strongly encourage you, if you've not been here for the duration of these sermons, to go back and get them. Just call the church, request it, whatever the case may be, or all of these sermons are on the internet, just on the website there. You can go on and get it. We're currently in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're keeping notes with me, this is a major thought that agape love is charitable love. It is charitable love. It is charity. This word charity in 1 Corinthians 13 is the word agape. That's what it is. Same love that Christ has for his bride. Now, we come to number 13 under this. I'm not going to go back and tap everything on the head because if I do that, I'll be tapping for a while, okay? So just go back and get it. Number 13. We see that agape love that Christ has for his bride, that he has for you, and that we are to have for our bride if we're husbands, and wives are to have for their husbands, all these kind of things in our home, imitating God as a husband and the way he loves. We see number 13, that charity believeth all things. Let's look at verse number 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things. There it is. Now this phrase means agape love is not suspicious. That's what it means. It means it wants to see the best in people. And it gives the benefit of the doubt. It trusts. It believes in the other person. It has confidence in the one that it loves. Agape love doesn't cast doubt on things. It doesn't go around negative all the time. It shows a strong belief. One man put it this way, love always places the best possible interpretation on everything that happens. It doesn't always seek the most negative answer, but it believes that good will triumph in any situation. Let me ask you a question. Am I speaking to any husband or wife that all they do all the time is drag around, and everything's negative? It's just negative this and negative that, and the world's falling apart, and nothing's going right. And I'm telling you one thing, how are we ever going to make it through this? Agape love doesn't do that. Agape love doesn't hang its head low and just negative. No, it shows a trust. It shows a belief in the one that it loves. Let me ask you a question. Does your mate know you trust them? Does your mate know that you believe in them? Do you have confidence in your mate? Now, friends, listen, this doesn't mean that your mate is the best thing since sliced bread, okay? This doesn't mean that your mate has not done something to make you suspicious, because there are mates, God forbid it, but there are mates who do things that causes their mate to just be suspicious all the time. And let me say this to you. It doesn't mean that you've not been hurt or that the mate has not caused something to make it look suspicious, but it does mean that your outlook on your marriage is positive. It's not negative. Let me ask you a question. Are you constantly defeated at home? Are you constantly negative with the way you talk, with the way you respond, with what goes on in the home? Let me ask it this way. In your marriage, are you breeding doubt or are you breeding trust? You know, sometimes I look my wife right in the face. And I mean this. I mean this with every ounce of my being. And I praise God that I have a wife that I can say this and it's the truth. But every now and then she needs to hear it. I look her right in the face. I'll get this close to her. I'll get closer than that sometimes. Amen. But I'll get this close to her face and I'll say something along this line. And she said the same thing to me. I'm glad that I can trust you. You know what your mate needs to hear? That you trust them. Now, does that mean that they're always worthy to be trusted? Does that mean that they never do anything to break your trust? No. But it means that agape love doesn't dwell and swim around in the negative. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It doesn't just stay there and swim around and, boy, this is just terrible. No, it lives above that. It believeth all things. It trusts. By the way, may I say this to you? If your mate has broken your trust, may I say this to you, that mate that's broken your trust, if they get their heart right with God, they will do everything they possibly can to earn your trust back. But let me say something to the one who broke the trust and to the one who's trying to trust again. The answer to that is not, I just need to believe in them. I just need to trust in them. No, you need to get as close to God as you possibly can, and God will put in you whether you can trust them or not. Amen. Now, He will. He will. Agape love trust, believes, has confidence in the one that it loves. You know what's challenging to me? You know what's challenging to me? That the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of my faults, all my failures, all of my shortcomings, name it, in all of that, He still believes in me. I'm not saying that He is just blind and no. He knows my faults. He knows I've broken His trust. But I know that He believes in me. I know that He has confidence in me. Can I tell you why? I'm preaching His word tonight. Talk about confidence. Now, if I break that confidence, God help me. You understand? But you know what helps me in my Christian life? To realize God's not out to get me. To realize He's out to bless me. He believes in me. He has confidence in me. He's entrusted me with things. I hope that makes sense what I'm saying to you. Number 14, it not only believeth all things, but number 14, verse 7, it hopeth all things. This is kind of similar, but it has a different twist. Let me explain this. This means to expect a good outcome. It means to anticipate good. It means not to be distrustful. Believe with all things means you trust. Hope with all things means it's not that you don't trust. You understand? Here's what it means. It means it hopes the best concerning somebody else. Here's the point. It refuses to accept failure. It's been said that it means when there's no place left for believing good of a person, agape love comes in with hope. One man said it this way, love always expects the best possible outcome. Love refuses to accept failure. It's the eternal optimist. Love always holds out hope that things will work out in the end. According to my study, here's the different twist on this, where it's a little bit different than believeth all things. According to my study, it means that agape love believes God. It means that agape love has faith in God. Could I be talking to a husband or a wife who believes that your situation is beyond repair? Could I be talking to a husband or a wife who believes that their marriage is over and their mate will never change? He'll just never change. That's just who he is. He'll never change. That is not agape love speaking. That is not agape love that speaks and says that. Agape love says this, I know it looks bleak. I know it looks like it's not going to change, but I believe God can change anything. That's agape love. It hopeth all things. Agape love speaking speaks with hope. May I put it this way? Agape love believes God can. Do you understand that? If you love your mate the way that Christ loves you, it is with a love that believes God. There's nothing too hard for God to fix. Amen. Amen. Makes no difference what happened. Makes no difference what I'm talking about, what happened there or what he said there or what she did there or what's going on there. Love hopeth all things. God can. God can. God can. God can. If you ever give up on your marriage, you have given up on agape love. Amen. Because agape love just believes and hopes that God can do anything. Psalm 42, verse 5, why art thou cast down? O my soul, why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 71, 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Psalm 71, 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. This agape love, hey, what's it do? It believeth all things. It's not just negative, just walking around negative. Oh, nothing's ever going to change. No, it believeth all things. It shows confidence. Hey, you want to tell you something that will change somebody's marriage potentially sitting in this room? Is if the husband and or the wife would go home tonight and do something that they've not done maybe ever or at least in a long time. You know what it is? To look their husband or wife in the face, even if they've done wrong, and say, now you know that you broke my trust, but I want to tell you something. I believe God can. I believe that God can help in this. He can build this. I believe God has something great for our marriage. That's what agape love does. It believes all things. It hopeth all things. Let me give you number 15. It endureth all things. This is found in verse number 7. Endureth all things. This means agape love stays under. That's what it means. It means it undergoes. It means it bears trials. It means it has fortitude. It means it perseveres. This is all in this phrase. I'm just defining what it means when you look it up. It means it holds up under pressure. It means it holds the line. It means it will not stop. This is all in this phrase. It means it'll bear up under persecutions and bear up under maltreatment. It means it extinguishes all inclinations for revenge. It means it doesn't give up the fort. It's a military word. It's what it is. It's a military phrase. Just like the soldiers will never give up this fort, they will fight to the death. They're not leaving. They're going to bear up. They're going to undergo. They're going to stay under. They will not give up their fort. That's what this phrase means. You know what our marriages need? For a husband and wife to stand out in front of their home and drive a stake a mile deep and say, "Here I stand. And no matter what comes, whether it's heaven on earth or hell on earth, I'm going to endure all things." That's what agape love does. Let me ask you a question. Has the Lord's agape love in your life endured some things? Has God endured you in this marriage relationship? Yes or no tonight? Absolutely. Have you done something that was hard on the Lord as His bride? You ever done something that you knew He was not pleased with and you did it anyway? It's called sin, friends. You ever done anything like that? You know what the love of Christ does? It just stays put. It goes nowhere. Fact of the matter is love bears the unbearable, believes the impossible, and holds on to the incredible, and never gives up. The word stop does not exist in the vocabulary of agape love. It's the attitude that Job had. It endureth all things. No matter what, I'm here to stay. No matter what, I'm here to stay. No matter what, I'm here to stay. It's the attitude of Job in Job 13:15, when the devil had unleashed his attack on him, killed his children, killed his possessions, stripped him, taking his health away from him. He's scraping himself with all these boils on him. His wife comes to him and says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" His wife. "Why don't you just curse God and die? Look what He's done to you." And that dear man of God in Job 13:15 said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain mine own ways before Him." Can I paraphrase what Job was doing? He was enduring all things, is what he was doing. Illustration of this principle. By the way, let me say this to you. I hope that you're not in a marriage relationship where you're having to endure. I hope you're enjoying it, okay? God wants you to enjoy marriage, not endure marriage. But in a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there may be a marriage or two or five or 10 or 100. Who knows? Because I've learned, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors in your home. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors at my home. I don't know how your marriage is doing, but I know this. I know that some marriages are just enduring. They're not enjoying. You say, "Then Jody, what's your advice?" The world says you need to just get out because you're supposed to be happy. You show me that in the Bible and I'll eat my Bible, friends. If all your doings endure, then make this your life verse. Charity endureth all things. If all you're doing is enduring marriage, you just keep on enduring it. Because that's what agape love does. It never stops. It refuses to throw in the towel. It refuses to give up the fort. Illustration of this principle would be in the following story of one of the best loved hymns of the faith. Might be your favorite hymn. It's the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Maybe you've heard this story. I think Brother Gary's even told the story here. I may have even told it as well. But this hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," was written by Horatio Spafford. Maybe you know the story. Mr. Spafford was a wealthy businessman in Chicago. He lost much of his real estate holdings in the Great Chicago Fire. And after the fire, he sent his wife and his four daughters on a ship to Europe, intending to join them later for a time of rest, as well as to assist D.L. Moody and Sankey with a revival in Great Britain. But the voyage was struck by disaster. Mr. Spafford received a cable from his wife with the painful message of two words, saved alone. What had happened was there was an accident or something on that fateful night, and his four daughters drowned. And his wife was saved, but she was saved alone. He quickly made arrangements to join his wife. And while he was on his way across that water and they came to the spot, apparently they pointed out to him, right here is where the accident happened and right here is where your daughters went down under the water never to come back up again. Right here. Can you imagine that? I don't want to imagine that. And when they reached that spot, he marked that sad event with words of hope when he penned down, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Means a little bit more and you know the story, doesn't it? Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. These powerful words written in the midst of such pain are a reminder to us today that even though we may be enduring great suffering, enduring great hardship, even in marriage, well, I hope not. But if you are, let this speak to your heart. It is not the end of God's plan for us. Sometimes God's children get discouraged because it appears that life is going better for those who are doing wrong. Yet the end result of both paths is already settled. Those who fear God will be able to say it as well. Those who oppose God will quickly find that the end of their path is death and destruction. Keeping the end result in mind helps us keep doing right. Let me ask you a question. When you think about your marriage, are you experiencing trials? When you think about your marriage, are you experiencing mistreatment? Or the like with your mate? Agape love doesn't throw in the towel. Agape love stays put. Endures to the end. Every marriage needs this. Because every marriage will be tested. Every marriage will go through trials. Every marriage will go through heartache. And may I say this to you? That doesn't mean that every marriage will have a mate that breaks the other mate's heart. No. But every marriage, if God gives you breath and allows you to live long enough, there's going to be something to hit your home that if you're not careful, one or both of you are going to be so hurt that you're going to feel like throwing in the towel and calling it quits. It could be a family sickness. It could be a family death. It could be something going on there or something going on there. Or God forbid, it's something going on with your own mate. You know what agape love does? Looks its mate right in the eye and says, sweetheart, I want you to know, no matter what this life throws at us, I am here to stay. I'm going nowhere. Have you said that to your wife? Have you said that to your husband? Are you enduring all things? Agape love does. Then we see the final thing. And that is, this is kind of building on this same thought. Look at verse number 8. Charity never faileth. Never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Question, back in this day, were prophecies important to God? Yes or no? Yes. But the Bible says, whether they be prophecies, they will fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Were tongues important to God back in this day? Absolutely. A sign to the Jew, the unbelieving Jew, God giving languages to give the word of God. But once the word of God was completed, the tongues ceased. There was no more use for them. But there was a time when they were important to God. Knowledge. Is it important to God? Does he want you to keep learning? Absolutely. But even knowledge will vanish away because we're headed to a place there'll be no more knowledge. We're with him. You understand? I'm saying to you that even the good things, the great things that were in the plan of God, tongues, prophecies, knowledge, there's coming a time, two of them I already have, one of them in the future, it will fail. It is ceased. It will vanish. But agape love never fails. What is he teaching here? This means agape love never drops away. It means agape love is never driven off of its course. It's the opposite of what Mark 13:25 says and says, and the stars of heaven shall fall. Listen to me. There's coming a day when the beautiful stars that you see, hey, sometime in a clear sky, look up at those beautiful stars. The Bible says that God has them numbered and named. He's got their names. He's got them numbered. But there's coming a day, the Word of God says, those stars will fall. But not agape love. It's the opposite of what the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:24, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. You take a beautiful flower in the spring. It'll be there a while, but not forever. It's coming and it's going. It blooms and then it falls away. Not agape love. In other words, it never ceases to exist. It is eternal. It is imperishable. It is immortal. It is permanent. Spurgeon said it this way, it is an unwithering flower. I like that. And as I've already said, this verse even shows how other important things would fail, such as prophecies, speaking in tongues, knowledge. But love never does. When everything else in this world has passed away, when knowledge is gone, spiritual gifts no longer matter, while the ages roll, agape love is doing just fine. It's the great constant throughout eternity. The idea here is building on the last point. It's one of endurance. When other things have been removed from view, there will still be agape love. It doesn't give in, give up, or give out. Love that is real is love that lasts. The point is agape love never becomes inefficient. It never ceases. As I travel and preach in different churches, many, many years ago, there was a man who told me, I'd found out that he was trying to leave his wife. So I went and I confronted him. And he told me, he said, I just don't love her anymore. I just don't love her anymore. Friends, agape love will never say that. Agape love will last through eternity because agape love is not something, it's someone. Because the Bible says God is love.
God is agape.
Dr. Clarence Sexton said, and I agree, that the greatest promise the Lord has given to us, we are His bride, by the way, so that you can apply this, that the greatest promise that the heavenly bridegroom has given to His bride, he said the greatest promise that He has given to us is in Hebrews 13:5, where it says, where Jesus said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Friends, the love of God that He has for His bride is everlasting. Is yours for your mate?
You say, wait a minute, I just don't love him anymore. That preacher's wrong. I've fallen out of love with him. You're not talking about agape love. You might be talking about eros love. You might be talking about sexual love. You might be talking about intimate love. But there's no way you're talking about agape love, because agape love never fails. Never fails. It's eternal. Does your mate know that your love will never fail? Do they? Or do they think your love is conditional? May I say this to you? If I had to earn the love of Jesus Christ that He has for me, and depending on what I do for Him, that's how He loves me, friends, we don't have a chance. But because He loves me with an everlasting love, an eternal love, a love that never dies, it never comes down one little iota, not one. I'm talking about it never fails. No matter what I do, I know God still loves me. Amen. By the way, aren't you glad of that tonight? You glad that God loves you no matter what you do? And may I say this to you, just going back to earlier in this sermon, agape love's causing love. When you really grab on to how much your heavenly bridegroom loves you, you want to serve Him, don't you? You want to please Him because of how gracious He is to you. I'd like to tell my wife in public, I think I've told her this in private. If I haven't, shame on me. I know I've said things like this before, but I'm telling her as she's here tonight, I want you to know, as long as I stay close to God, and God, see, this is not putting confidence in my flesh. The Bible says you can't trust your flesh. But I want you to know, as long as I stay close to God, as long as I'm right with God, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. God has given me a love for you that's supernatural. And I think you know that. And I know He's given you the same thing for me. That's a blessing. And I trust our marriage is going to get better and better and better and better and better. But here's what agape love says. Even if it takes the worst turn it could possibly take, it never fails. It stays put. It will not leave. God, give us that love for each other. God, give our marriages that love. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Romans 8:35 through 39. How does God love me? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those verses say, whether it's height or depth, it makes no difference what it is, peril, persecutions. We know in our heart, no matter what comes, God still, agape, loves me. And our mates should know the same thing. Nothing will ever separate us from His love, because His love never fails. There'll never be a time when His love fails for us. He will never leave us, never forsake us. Our mate should be able to say the same about our love for them. Can your mate say this about your love? Do they know you will never leave them? Do they know you'll never forsake them? Hey, agape love never says, I've had enough, I'm gone. That's not agape love speaking. Agape love never says, you do that one more time and it's bye-bye, I'm history, I'm out of here. That is not agape love. Amen tonight, friends. Agape love never threatens to leave, because agape love cannot leave. It never fails. He said, I'm with you forever. And He means what He says. Mark 10, 6-9 says, but from the beginning of the creation of God, right here, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Get this. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. May I conclude this message on agape love, imitating God as a husband by loving our mate as our bridegroom loves us with this agape love? What, I mean, it's been five sermons it's taken me to get through this. Can I summarize it all? There's a man who had only an eighth grade education. This man wanted to be a soul winner. God had laid a brilliant attorney on his heart, obeying the Lord. He went to talk to the lawyer about Jesus Christ. But no sooner had he begun when the attorney used his legal training and brilliant mind to turn the man inside out, because this soul winner just had an eighth grade education. The man finally apologized for coming and for taking the attorney's time. He had a burden for this attorney, you see. This attorney just tried to turn him inside out. But he left with tears in his eyes. As he said to this lawyer, and I quote, I just want you to know that I came because I love you. Dejected, he went home to his wife, this man who eighth grade education. And he said, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to talk to anyone the rest of the day. I just want to go to my room, be left alone. I feel like such a failure. About an hour later, the lawyer came and knocked on this man's door, and he told the man's wife he'd like to see her husband. She said, I'm sorry, but he's not seeing anybody today. He said, oh, I think he'll see me. Just tell him who I am. So the husband allowed the attorney to come into his room, and he said, why have you come? Have you come to make fun of me? Have you come to argue with me again? You know I cannot argue with you. The lawyer said, no, I haven't come to argue with you. I've come to ask you to tell me how I can be saved. The man replied, I don't understand what changed your mind. Every time I tried to tell you about Jesus, you came up with an argument that I couldn't answer. The lawyer said, yes, I did, but you came up with an argument that I couldn't answer either. Soul winner looked at him and said, what was that? The lawyer said, when you looked at me and told me that you love me, I couldn't argue with that. Even though this man was turning this uneducated man inside out with his theological questions, whatever he was doing, one thing that lawyer could not argue with this uneducated man was when this uneducated man, with tears running down his cheeks, said, I'm leaving. But I want you to know, sir, the only reason I came is because I love you. God took that thought And that man couldn't believe that he loved him. Let me tell you what our marriages need. For a husband and a wife to go on face, get on their face and beg God for tears. And look their mate right square in the face. Say, I want you to know something. I love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm here to stay. That's the marriage God wants you to have. Taking everything else that you hold in great value tonight and placing them aside. Take your talents, put them to the side. Take your gifts, put them to the side. Take your potential, put it to the side. Take your position, put it to the side. I have a question for you. How's your love life? I'm not talking about eros. I'm talking about agape. Do you truly love your mate the way God loves you? How much does God love me? I was telling this story this morning. I'm just about done here. I was preaching this morning. I found a story, and I have it in my sermon that I preached this morning. A man said that if he could take Jacob's ladder, climb up that ladder and stand on the street of gold, and find Gabriel, the one that stands in the presence of God, and said, Gabriel, how much does God love the world? How much does God love me? He said, I know what Gabriel would say. Gabriel would say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. That's how much God loves the world. That's how much God loves you. And that's how much I should love my wife. Am I truly an imitator of God as a husband? Challenging, isn't it? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight, and I pray that you will help us, that you will challenge us, that you will burden us. May the will of God be done. The Lord is moving. I can sense it in my heart and soul. God is speaking. I can sense it in my heart and soul. Tonight, I want you to think about this in a twofold fashion. First of all, I want you to think about just how much God really loves you. This love that took me 5 sermons to get through, we only scratched the surface, but that's the love that God has for me and has for you. Oh, how he loves me. So if you're here tonight and you do not know the love of God, never trusted Christ, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Tonight, I believe the Lord is leading me to ask you again. If you're here with your mate, would you do me a favor? You don't have to do this. Would you reach over and grab her by the hand? Would you do that? Men, be the leader. Reach over and grab your wife by the hand. And I want you to know that the one that you're holding hands with, your marriage union, is so precious to God, so precious to Him. And if God is speaking to you, as a man, as a wife, as a couple, I'll ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to you, I want to ask you to come to this altar. You say, I don't come normally. Then do something out of the ordinary. Get out of your seat and come to this altar. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do that? Bring your sweetheart with you. Would you do it? Come on now. Would you do it as he sings?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. How art thou?
Come on.
I am.
Come on, come on.
Hold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
They're playing through. I'd like to speak to the teenagers just a moment. I'd like to speak to the young people who are not married. Someday, by God's grace, you desire to be. That's you tonight. You say, I'm a young person, I'm not married, but I desire to be one of these days. I really do. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. You got your hand raised. I want you to look right up here at me. Would you do that? Let me tell you what you've been to the last five sermons that I've preached on Sunday. You've been to a marriage seminar. That's what you've been to. Let me tell you what you need to do right now. You don't need to be looking for your mate. You need to love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might. Beg God to give you His love. Oh, when I followed the Lord, had no idea that my wife existed. Taking a step in the will of God, there came the day when I lifted my eyes and there she was. I wasn't trying to find her, just following God. I want to invite you young people, why don't you come to this altar when Brother Gary begins to sing again? You come, why don't you ask God to keep you pure? You say, I've already lost my purity. Then why don't you determine right now that you're going to be pure from this day forward? Amen. Why don't you come and you say, God, give me agape love for my future mate. Give that to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. As he sings, get out of your seat, young people. As he sings, you come now. Would you do that? If God's in this, come on. As he sings, come on, come on, come on, young people. You say, this is me. I need this, Brother Bob. Help yourself to get around these people. Get around these young men. Get around these young ladies. Asking God to help them, to encourage them. Looking for the right mate by being the right mate. Being the right one. Not just trying to look for. Just be the right one. Hey, if some of you parents see your young one coming, come on, come pray with them. Come on. Come pray. Come pray with the youngster. Come on. Are they up? Lift your eyes. See if they're up here. If they are, come on up here and pray with them. Moms and dads coming. Come on. Come talk to them. Come talk and pray with them. Ask God to give them agape love. Help them to be what God wants them to be. As Brother Gary, just keep on singing, Brother Gary. God is moving. God is working. We let God have His way. May the Lord touch these young people.
Have thine own way.
As he sings, let me speak to this crowd. Have you tonight, say, Jody, my mate is with the Lord. I'm a widow or I'm a widower. Boy, I think about my sweetheart now. If that's you, would you raise your hand, be an honest person? If you you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it. Look at me just a minute. I know a message like this is hard. I know a message like this rips your heart out of your chest. But I hope you know your pastor well enough. I'm not trying to do that to you. You can help these people. Because love never fails. You'll see your saved loved one again. There's coming a day. You'll be with your sweetheart for all eternity. Don't let this message discourage you. We love you. We care about you. The Lord's been good to us. And what I've been preaching, we're preaching a gun barrel straight. Would you agree? Would you agree? I didn't preach as long tonight, but the Lord showed up. God is working. Give Him praise for it. Amen. Excited about all this. Appreciate you being here tonight. Let me go ahead and dismiss all the third through sixth graders and the parents. If you'll go to the blue room, all third through sixth graders and your parents, go into the blue room. And we will pray and we'll be dismissed tonight. Be back Wednesday night. Brother Gary will be preaching Wednesday night. I'll be in the building. I'll be in the cadet program. They're having a minute to win it, and Brother John wants to embarrass me in front of the kids over there, so I think it'd be good for the kids. So you come as Brother Gary preaches. It'd be a great blessing. Amen. Thank you, preacher, again for preaching this morning. Our privilege to have you speaking and all of that. Praise the Lord for it. I'm going to ask Brother David Pruitt, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer. Be back Wednesday night now. God bless you for being here.